If you have a Bible with you today, if you turn with us in the book of Genesis, chapter number 31, the book of Genesis, chapter number 31, I sure am glad I've got the Word of God today. I don't have a copy, I have the Word of God. King James Bible. Don't need another Bible, we need to try to live out of the one God wrote for us. If you're glad you're saved today, say amen.
Amen.
Don't let a little new building steal your shout this morning. I sure am glad there's still some young people singing in the old time way. Everything's not went contemporary and worldly. I'm glad some young people know how to exalt our God. Genesis 31, verse number 11, the Bible said, if you're with me today, say amen.
Amen.
And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams that leap upon the cattle are ring-straked, speckled and gristled, for I've seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest a pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now rise and get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for this good time together today and how good you've been to us. Lord, I am truly grateful of the new addition that you have entrusted us with. May we keep it full of praises. May we keep it full of thanksgiving. May we keep it under the sound of the Word of God for your honor and your glory. Help us preach this morning. If there'd be one here lost, I pray you'd show them Christ. Draw them by your mercy and your grace. Lord, I'm a needy preacher today, and I sure do need you to help me to be a blessing. Use us in these last days and these hours. In Jesus' name I pray and I thank you. Amen. Amen. Last Sunday we started preaching on the thought of where God said, I am. It still is. I'm glad the great I am still is. We seen last week as Abraham, the father of our faith, went down and met the kings of Sodom and had war. Now there's ever been a time that the men that are on God's side ought to have a war against Sodom and Gomorrah. It is this morning. We stand in a nation that is fastly leaving the precepts and the oracles that our forefathers have laid the foundation on. Abraham walked in and did battle with the kings of Sodom. I'm glad this morning that the great king, the king of all kings, is still in the battle going business. The great I am still is. Not only is He's still the God of the battle. But I want you to know that today the Bible said that He's still the God of Bethel. Now, Bethel simply means this, the house of God. And as I look, He's talking to Jacob. Jacob's name means supplanter or trickster. Boy, when Jacob was born unto Isaac, and the granddad was Abraham, Isaac knew that of what to call his boy. For he was a trickster, and a schemester, and a swindler. But aren't you glad there's a place in the Bible for tricksters and schemesters and traitors? Paul said, and such were some of you, but you're washed. I'm glad we've got a God that is interested in people down at Bethel or the house of God. As I began to look at this text in Genesis 31 and 13, he said, I am the God of Bethel. I sure am glad that the great I am still is. He's not went no place this morning. He's not taking orders from the White House, honey. God is still God, and He's sovereign on His throne. Nobody gives Him orders, and nobody gives Him demands. For He is a God that still is in this day, in this hour. Now, by way of outline and being as brief as I can, if He said, I am the God of Bethel, let's take a look at the first mention in our Bible. I love it. Last week we seen the first mention where God said, I am. But today we go back and we look at the first mention of Bethel. Where did it come from? What was going on at Bethel? God is dealing with Jacob. And Jacob has been running from Esau. For Jacob played a trick on his brother. And he stole the birthright of Esau. The Bible said that Jacob's mother loved him more than Esau. And went in unto their daddy Isaac and tricked him. She wrapped goats of skins about his hands, and their Isaac's eyes had became dim. And Jacob came forth, and Isaac felt of his hands, and he said, you have the hands of Esau, but you have the voice of Jacob. There Isaac bent over Jacob and bestowed upon him Esau's birthright of the eldest son. Esau comes in and realized that Jacob had tricked him. Esau said these words, I'm going to kill my brother Esau. And Jacob left the house of his father and went out as a nomad. And God appeared unto Jacob. I'm glad we've got a God that will appear to those that have left the father's house. I'm glad we've got a God that'll give a message to those that have done wrong. I'm going to tell you, by the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, God forgives us everyone. There is no other forgiveness under God's heaven except by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you'll notice in this thing that He is the God of Bethel. Look in Genesis 28 and verse 12. You'll notice that a first mention. I want to say that Bethel, or the house of God, ought to be a place of fascination. Now, Jacob, the Bible said in Genesis 28 and verse 11, he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. It was getting dark. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Now, here's what I would like to talk with you about the God of Bethel. If He's the God of Bethel, what ought to be at Bethel or the house of God? I think there's a lot of boys confused today what ought to be going on in the house of God. I can tell you this, first of all, at the house of God there was fascination. For Jacob said, and he dreamed. I sure am glad that God can give some men dreams. I'm glad God is still in the giving of the dream business. Somebody said, Brother Ken, you got a dream? I sure do. I want to have a vision for God. My vision is to lead a people Godward. in this last day and this last hour. Some of you need to dream again. Me and Brother Mike, I think Friday, we stood in that doorway and looked across, and we could not imagine of where God has brought this ministry in 21 years. As they began to install the new pews and looked out the door, I began to say, Holy Ghost, thank you for letting me dream big. I'm glad that God is still in the dream fulfilling business. Some of you need to get a dream back for your church, and some of you need to get a dream back for your family, and some of you need to get a dream back for you, and realize Jesus said you have not because you ask not. If you don't set your sights on something, you're sure to hit it. Young men, have a dream. I seen a lady last night at the funeral home. Her mother, God, spoke to me in Tallapoosa about 30 years ago. I was filling a drink box out on the sidewalk. She came out of a little ceramic shop. The name of it was Thrower Ceramic, downtown Tallapoosa, Georgia, on Head Avenue. You know there's some rednecks live up in that place. Amen. She came out, I was filling up that drink box, Brother Tim. She walked up to me and she said, Young man, I believe the way you work and the way you got things in heart, you're going to run this company one day. I closed that drink box with another skip in my step, realizing God will let you dream big. I've never had an education, but I tell you what I did have. I had a God that's still blessing His children. Honey, I'm not against education this morning. I wish I had more of it. Amen. But I come to tell you this. There ain't no philosopher can give you a blessing. There ain't nobody can bless you like our God can bless you. I left out of there with a dream in my heart and realized how big our God could really be. I want to tell Him today, in a storefront building, preaching on a high chair in the home, I had a dream. I didn't know where it'd go, but all I know, God said, do this. I've noticed just minding God at one day at a time. God is still blessing in this day and this hour. And I say, hallelujah. God, give us a church that has fascination in this day and this hour. I'm glad when we come to church here, we really don't know what the order of service is. I believe we ought to have order. Amen. I believe everything ought to line up to this King James Bible. But honey, ain't nobody wrote my sermons yet. You ain't going to start writing them now. Amen. I can tell you this, we don't know what's going to happen, but I guarantee you this, if we'll dream big, God will do big things in this day and this hour. I'm glad we've got a God that'll give you a dream. Some of you need a dream. You've heard this, were you just dreaming? Dream on for the glory of God. I'm dreaming for my grandchildren. I'm dreaming for my children. I'm dreaming for my church family. Jacob had a dream. Joseph had a dream and the brethren laughed at him. But honey, let me tell you, the power of a dream is strong. Some of you need to get a dream where you live, where you work. Do all you can do with what God give you. Amen. It's amazing what God can do if He'll get all the credit for it. Oh my. He said, I am the God of Bethel. Means the house of God. I'm glad at the house of God there is fascination. God will give you dreams. Some of you keep dreaming for your children to get saved. God's going to save them. Some of you need to be dreaming about your grandbabies getting saved. God's going to save them. Some of you ought to keep dreaming for those you invite into church to come. God's going to do big things. Now I want to say the Bethel, it ought to be a place of great fascination. He dreamed. And then the Bible said he saw a ladder. It ought to be a place of proclamation. I'm glad we can still proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said this, he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And in verse 19, he called the name of that place Bethel, that of first mention. Not only a place of fascination, but it ought to be a great place of proclamation. I'm glad I still proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Honey, let me tell you, the Muslims are going to die and go to hell without the Lord Jesus Christ. The atheists are going to die and go to hell without Jesus Christ. The sinner's going to die and go to hell without the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one way to glory today. And God put a ladder in this whole world. The Bible said it reached from the bottom to the top. I'm glad he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to get us a way unto glory. I'm glad it's one step at a time. Hallelujah. I'm glad God put a ladder that we could get to him. May I say, we can't get to him on our good works. We can't get to him on trying to get cleaned up. But Jesus said, he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by him. I'm glad the house of God, or the God of Bethel, can still have a proclamation. Jesus saves. It's still about Jesus. And it's going to end about Jesus. I don't care what the modern day philosophers have to say. This Bible's still real. And I'm going to stand on it till Jesus comes for me. There's one way to glory. And that's by His darling Son that hung on a bloody cross and shed His blood for me and you. He didn't spill His blood. He shed His blood. We could all go free. I'm glad Jacob saw the ladder. Can I tell you today, the ladder is available. The Lord Jesus not willing that any perish but all would come to repentance. I sure am glad. You say, well, preacher, how do I get saved? We get saved by grace through faith. You've got to realize you're a sinner. Until the Holy Spirit convicts you and convinces you that you're lost and undone without Christ, till He convinces you that you're a sinner, then, honey, I sure am glad you can come to Christ by grace through faith. I'm glad one day in 1981, God presented a ladder to me. I stepped on that bottom rung. I'm headed to glory. May I say I'm glad that the top reaches down to the bottom. Amen. I'm glad the bottom reaches to the top. He denies none. Thank God. Aren't you glad? There is a ladder available today. And that ladder is the Lord Jesus Christ. God's house, there ought to be a proclamation proclaiming the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, folks, ain't nobody never been good to me as Jesus has. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And then, not only at God's house, do you find out that Jacob dreamed a dream. It ought to be a place of great fascination. It ought to be a place of proclamation. And then I want to say in Genesis 35, God mentions it again. It ought to be a great place of dedication. Jacob went and had that dream. God put a ladder down before him. And Jacob leaves and calls it Bethel. Jacob is walking around in this world and God comes to him. And look what he says in Genesis 35. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. Make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when you fled from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel and I'll make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. I want to say, fourthly, or thirdly, it ought to be a place of dedication. Now, he said, I am the God of Bethel. When he tells Jacob to go to Bethel in Genesis 35, look what he says. It ought to be a place of dedication. Look, there ought to be some climbing going on. God said to Jacob, arise and go up to Bethel. Honey, you know when you go into higher ground, it ain't when you go into the bingo club. It ain't when you're going out yonder to the golf course. But when you're gaining grounds, when you're coming up to God's house. Oh, go up to the house of the Lord. I'm glad God's house is a high place. I'm glad it stands above this old world. It is a holy place. God's house ought to be holy. God's house ought to be the prettiest house in town. He said in the book of Haggai, Brother Tex, he said, y'all dwell in sealed houses and my house lieth waste. I sure am glad we can go to church where God is, but I'm going to tell you, I'm glad we can go to a house of God that looks nice. Somebody say amen. It is a high place. It is a holy place. And then I want to say this. It is a place of dedication. He talked simply about cleansing. He said, put away them gods that are before you. You know what a god is? A god is anything stands between you and your God. God is jealous. And God don't take back seats to nobody. If you got that crazy bumper sticker up on your car that says, God's my co-pilot, you ought to get you a razor blade and some good Ajax and wipe that stuff off for the glory of God. God ain't nobody's co-pilot. He's pilot. Honey, if he can't drive, he ain't gonna ride. You ought to scoot over and give him the seat because God deserves all of our honor and all of our glory. It's a place of dedication. My goodness. He said you need to go up to the house of God. It'll change your life to go to the house of God. I appreciate mom and daddy's bringing their little ones to the house of God. They can't drive, and I appreciate you bringing them here. And he said, I want you to go up to the house of God down to Bethel. Look what else he says right here on this place of dedication. He said, I want you to go up to Bethel and dwell there. That'd do us good. If we got so consistent in our church going that our families know we dwelled here on Sunday. You know what Sunday is? It's the Lord's Day. You ought to put God first. You can go to the lake, you can go to the golf course, you can enjoy things, but you ought to put God first. Sunday's a day that we come and worship Him in spirit and in truth and give God His time for the day. Dedicated, you ought to dwell there. You ought to quit hitting and missing church. The reason I say that, you'll get help for your life. There's a whole lot more help in the church house where the Word of God's being preached than it is out yonder. Look what they say at church. Help me right here. Now the place of dedication, it's a climbing. Then it's a cleansing. He said, then Jacob said to his household and all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you. That's anything that would take place of God. There's a lot of strange gods in the church house today. It amazes me. Men would call off their service and bring the big screen Super Bowl and show the advertisements that I turned off coming in my house, much less putting them in front of a group of young people in the saints of God. Are people gone crazy? There was filth on at that Super Bowl on the halftime show. I won't even allow in my house. I turned it. Much less the house of God where God has given me the office to preach at. It's filth. And it's the wrong environment to raise your children in. And I'm going to stand there till Jesus comes. I got to look, and they turned over the Budweiser commercial. I said, "Boy, that's promoting nice stuff to their young people, ain't it?" Honey, alcohol ain't never helped nobody. It's put them in a ditch or in a graveyard quick. Put the strange gods out from you before you go to Bethel. Then look what he said. Some of y'all are not going to like this right here, and I'm going to be real nice because we've got a lot of visitors. He said, "This is what I want you to do when you go there. I want you to go and be dedicated. I want you to dwell there." Some of y'all to purpose, this is where you go to church and get here. And then secondly, he said, "I want you to cleanse yourselves. I want you to put away these strange gods from among." How can we operate in the world and come in and have church on Sunday? We need to live for God on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm talking about old-fashioned, old-time, holy living. Doing right. Let your word be your word. Well, not even need a contract. Your handshake ought to be boss. Cleanse. And then look what he says. Change your garments. Well, not dressed like the world when we come in here. Amen. Amen. You ain't got to wear a suit and tie to come to church here, but you ought to wear your best. Look what he said. Change your garment. We're going to worship. Amen. We ain't going to a bull roping. Going to worship. Present our best to God. Change your garments before you go down there. Some of you need to take a bath. Say amen. Brush your teeth. Come on now. You know your grill needs some work done. Brush your teeth. Change your garments. Honey, I'm not talking about wearing your dress that drags the ground. I'm not talking about putting a towel under your chin. I'm talking about coming to God's house ready for God to meet with us and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Not worried about who's sitting around. Not worried about who's here. But honey, realize there's one that's got to be here. And that is the God of this Bible, where He said, "I am and I change not." I'm glad the great I Am still is this morning. Some of y'all don't like that, but I'm going to tell you something. Your mom and daddy weren't buying these clothes. Y'all buying them. The young'uns ain't buying them. You buying them. You buying them. You call the shots. Put on your big boy britches and be daddy down where you go, where you live. These little boys pull up, these little punks with a little haircuts, and you don't know if they're coming or going to come pick your daughter up. I wouldn't send my babies off with them. Amen. You wonder why they get in trouble. It ain't your preacher. And it ain't your Bible. And it ain't your God. You're not doing what God said do in your Bible. Don't look at me sideways. You still need preaching. You know I'm telling it right. My daddy called the shots as long as he was feeding me and putting clothes on my back. I didn't tell my daddy what to do when my feet was under his table. He had a cure for that. I love preaching. I love preaching. Folks get to looking wall-eyed like. Y'all know I'm telling it right. You put your kids in the wrong environment, you know what they're going to do? They're going to do what me and you would do. He said, dwell there. Get persistent at church. Your children are counting on you. I can tell you a family that breaks my heart. I'm about done preaching. I'm going to get off this bad spirit and get smiling at you. But you know, a preacher ought to have some guts about him. I remember a family was bringing their children here, young boy raising his hand, saying, "Thank you, Lord," and going to the altar praying with the young people. They got out of church. You know where they're at now? They're sitting at home. I believe God had plans for that boy. Mom and daddies, you got great responsibility with your children and your grandchildren. And I commend you for getting them under the sound of the gospel. You got to dedicate. Sunday is God's house. God's time. I'll let you go by 12:30. You get down there at 11:45. All you going to get is that stuff they put on the buffet at 10. It's a soggy. It ain't fit to eat. You bust up in there about 1 o'clock, you get some fresh fried chicken. Somebody say amen. Some of y'all wouldn't be happy with a piece of fried chicken down the tail looking at you. I'm still preaching. The great I am still is. Brother, y'all come. I want you to sing a song. I'm going to share one more thing then. It's a place of dedication, place of fascination, place of proclamation. We ought to proclaim there's one way to glory, that is by the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in verse number 7, it ought to be a place of appreciation. This is what he said. The Bible says, so Jacob came to Luz, which means Bethel, which is the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him, and he built there an altar. It called the place El Bethel. You know what that word El Bethel means? El Bethel simply means this, the God of the house of God. He built there an altar and called the place El Bethel because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. I want to close with this thought. It ought to be a place of appreciation. When they came to that altar, you see, it's Christ we worship. We don't worship a preacher. We don't worship a pope. We don't worship a building. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Place of appreciation. The altar is a place of appreciation. This is what he said. He said he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel because there God appeared unto him. This altar cost him something. You know what he was to do on this altar, Brother Mike? He had to sacrifice a lamb out of his flock in order to worship his God. It costs you something to worship. But there's a God that's here this morning that's worthy of all of our worship. I got some of the best friends in my life here. Today they're sitting here. Many times, Brother Tim, in my altar I've prayed. I never want to get up to say, Lord, thank you. How good you've been to me. Lord, you deserve all of our honor and all our praise. I could go on and on of who God has saved by this post. Bethel's a place of appreciation. Thank you. You may just want to gather this morning. These young ones are going to sing. I want to open these altars up. I know many have moved the altars and done business with the Lord. I want to tell you, first of all, if you're here and you've never been saved, Christ loves you. He'd save you if you'd come by faith to Him. Some of you need God to help you in something. But there ought to be others just gather around the altar of appreciation today. And simply bring your family, bring your wife or your children, and maybe just simply say this, thank you. How good you've been. Would you come this morning?